is cheesy. The plot is stupid.
I'm sorry, the plot is bad.
That's a little opening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a multifaceted edition of ARG Presents. I'm your good buddy, your good pal, Amigo Aaron, joined by a man that has only one facet. I give you the brand.
What is my one facet?
Annoyance.
Oh, well, that is a colorful, rangeful environment, so yeah, I'm okay with that.
I don't know what that even means. See? Well, there we go. Now I'm getting grumpy. Good morning, everybody. It's another fun footage of ARG Presents, and this time around, the brand, we spun the wheel. We made the deal. It's sort of a multi-deal.
Yeah.
Because this week on the show, we'll be looking at multi-genre games.
Yes.
Now, I'm going to tell you right up front. Yeah. I couldn't even think of a name for this episode. Because when you say multi-genre games,
yeah,
I don't know what that means.
Oh,
I mean, I do, but I don't. Then you've got games with multiple play elements would be it. But that name's not that good. You know,
that multi-genre is incredibly descriptive and tells you exactly what you're getting into. I don't understand.
Well, the thing is, when a lot of games these days have multiple genres represented in them, like more than most, right? I mean, if you think of a game, like in the old days, just so you load up Pac-Man,
right?
You're playing Pac-Man.
It's amazing.
If you load up Phoenix,
right?
You're playing Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a shooter.
Game, right? But if you load up something like, say, Grand Theft Auto, it's a driving game. It's a shooting game. You can go bowling. You can go skydiving.
Yeah, I would say that, yeah, that is definitely multi.
Well, no kidding. The point of it is, this is a more prevalent thing than you saw back in the day.
Oh, well, of course.
Now.
Yes.
I can think of some of the all-time great multiplayer games from retro gaming history. And the ones that come to mind would be like Tron would be one I would put in that category.
Yeah.
It's got driving, it's got shooting, and it's got the tanks.
Other shooting.
Yeah, so I'm just saying,
it's got driving, it's got shooting, and it's got driving and shooting.
But this wasn't something you saw all that often early in the retro era. Can you think of any game representative of this genre?
Well, see, here's where you get a little controversial.
All right.
On the screen right now, for those watching home, you've got Goonies 2.
Okay.
Right? Goonies 2 was a side-scrolling platformer.
Yeah.
But it also had maze elements, that 3D maze element. Now, is that really multi-genre? I think that's skirting the edge of what we're talking about here.
It's sort of like Alone in the Dark in an area where you had to get to like a maze. So, yeah, sticking a maze in your game, I'm not sure I'm going to buy that.
Right. I think that's skirting the edge. I'm trying to think, like, Journey. Journey would be
multifaceted. In fact, I thought about picking that one, but we'd already covered it. A lot of the things I thought about picking.
We have?
Yeah, we covered Journey. But yeah, we've covered a lot over our 8 million episodes we've done. I thought about picking a game like an Olympic style game, like a track and field.
No, that's not multi-genre.
Why?
Because that's all sports.
I mean, there's a big difference between, like, for example, skiing and ice skating.
No,
there's two different types of
games. I would not call that multi-generational.
Yeah, I would say that would be okay. That's just me. With all that said.
Now, Aaron, do you prefer multi-genre games? Do you like it when a game hits you with something incredibly new and different?
Well, I'll tell you something. For me, when you're playing a game and then all of a sudden another game pops up, like on the Amiga, for example, me and Boda played a million games.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll sprinkle in a shooting level in a platformer if it's relevant, you know?
Yeah.
And that's always, it's like a nice little goodie. You know, you get like a little, it's like a hidden goodie you get.
Right.
Some games will even have a different sort of genre when you find like a hidden area, like a bonus room. That you'll get a little
right.
So I think that's okay. So yes, I do actually like. But I mean, the problem is that if you get too cute, you can become the game that has a couple genres represented that both suck. So what's the problem?
I think games have to be a little multi-genre. Yeah, have multi-genre. Yeah,
lots of different ways to play.
There it is.
But here's the problem. Sometimes you're playing a game, and when you get to the different section, it sucks so bad that you don't want to continue. Or the opposite could happen. It's so good, you wish the game was just more of this, and it actually brings down the quality of the main meat of the game.
Yeah.
And I think that's a dangerous road to travel, because you can really screw up the flow of a game by that sort of contradicting ideas.
You know, along those lines, if you ever play, every once in a while you'll be playing like a graphical adventure game, you know, like point and click, and all of a sudden they put like an arcade element style game in the middle of that. That's something that, because you're not,
and if you never get past it,
you're boned.
Yep.
And you didn't sign on for that.
Yep.
You don't like that element of the game, you know. And
that absolutely happens.
So that's something else. So yeah, it is. You're walking a tightrope there when you decide to have multiple play styles in a single game. I think it works better with arcade style games than anything else, because you're already playing something that's kind of twitchy, you know. And what really is nice when they can fit that into the storyline, you know, like Tron's a good example. You had four different type elements of gameplay because there were different elements that were in the film, and so you're going to try them out, you know. So that's kind of neat. I think if you think about it, you can pull it off. But did our games pull it off? That's the big question, and we're fixing to find out, because we had to have a go at this and try to pick up a couple games. And I will say, I spent a great deal of time this week looking for mine, and you had yours.
Really?
Yeah, you had yours almost instantly.
Yes, I knew exactly what I was playing.
And so we're going to let you lead the dance this week, because you definitely have the more well-known title, Brent. What did you bring to the table this week for multi-genre games?
I chose The Adventures of Bayou Billy. Now, Aaron.
I did that.
Yeah, I don't either.
Bayou Billy's a ninja. I don't know if I mentioned it. He's clearly not if you play the game.
He jumps and kicks.
He jumps, all right.
Adventures of Bayou Billy. I have a long, angry history with this game. This is one that I would have rented many, many times for weekend play and got incredibly frustrated with. As you well know, and probably most of our listeners know, my NES library was tiny, but my game reach was vast due to renting games.
Yeah.
And Adventures in Bayou Billy, really, I don't know if you remember the advertisements, Aaron, but I do. I remember the advertisements even back when I was a little kid, talking about all the different ways you can play the games, and all the, because it really pushed that multi-genre thing down your throat. That was a selling aspect for the game, which I think is probably the first time I remember a game really putting that front and center of all the things you get to do as Bayou Billy. So in Adventures of Bayou Billy, your lovely lady Annabelle gets snatched by the evil gangsters, and you got to go get her.
Now, before you move on, let's talk about this. There's a little cut scene.
Yeah.
Where the bad guy's holding her. And the bad guy, it's not like the guy in Final Fight where he has a little blurb and his guys have their own TV.
Right.
This guy's holding her up. I believe he's got a knife or gun to her head.
Knife, remember. Yeah.
And he goes on for quite a while. He soliloquies. You guys like, oh, so you want your woman back, do you? This woman? This? I was like, I thought to myself, this is one of the biggest jerks I've ever seen in gaming. I mean, he's got a look on his face like, aha, I gotcha. Like, I don't know how he came upon Bayou Billy's woman, but this guy's a scumbag, and a long-winded scumbag.
Well, I can kind of fill some of it in. If you go back, I don't think this was covered in the games, but I believe it was covered in the comics, that the big bad had killed Bayou Billy's previous wife.
Jeez!
So it was personal. I mean, it's super personal.
Wait a minute, this game had a comic?
Not only did this have a 18-month comic run, which only was six comics, it also...
They had trouble cranking those out, didn't they?
Well, it was set up to be bi-monthly, every 2 months. This also had some television presence in the form of on the Nintendo cartoon. He was a character on that, a recurring character. So in Adventures of Bayou Billy, you got to go get back your woman, and of course the only way to start that when your name is Bayou Billy is deep in the swamp.
Yeah,
and that is where you take on your side-scrolling action Final Fight style game. And most people will never get past this. The Adventures of Bayou Billy is a brutal brutal game. Your character has three moves. You can punch, you can kick, and you can jump kick. And you can pick up weapons along the way. But when you're in the bayou, it's not necessarily the men that are the problem. It's the huge honking alligators the game forces you to defeat before you can continue on the swamp. And these alligators hit for massive, massive damage. If you don't have a weapon going in, you're pretty much screwed.
I don't agree with you, though. The men are something to contend with.
Right. I agree.
It's like every guy's an end boss. He's got like 1,000 hit points.
But if you can, Aaron, if you can make it out of the swamp, you get to go to the shooting section. And this is the big selling point. Not only could you play the shooting section with your controller, moving your old crosshairs around this screen, a la Operation Wolf.
Yeah.
Back in the day, you could pull out the old zapper gun and actually shoot the screen and play that way.
Yeah.
And it even comes up before each stage and says, like, hey, now you're going to be playing with a controller. It's like, oh, okay, a controller. And now you're going to be playing with the zapper. And you get your zapper plugged in, you pull it out, and you start shooting. And the shooting sections are by far the easiest parts of this game. That's not to say that they're easy, but they're the easiest parts. I back in the day, I had a zapper, but I typically didn't play with the zapper because I found it easier to do with a controller. It's not as much fun, but it's easier. And after that, you go to the driving sections of the game where you're driving your Jeep and they're attacking you with dynamite, and they're hitting you with
dynamite.
They're driving like Jeeps into you. Air assaults as planes go down and strafe as you're driving.
The bad guy has a lot of resources.
He really does.
He's got everything. He even trained gators to kill you.
So if you manage to get back to the driving section, those are the three sections of the game. You'll go back to some fighting, some more shooting until you eventually get through the game. I believe Bayou Billy is 8 stages. But the multi-genre part of the game is incredible. It uses all of the different gameplay elements to great effect. They all feel very, very different. You're not going to mistake the driving scene for the shooting scene or the fighting scenes. It's all very well split up, and it does seem to flow into each other very well. The settings, because you start in the bayou, but you go all the way into the city, and you're driving through the, I said outback, but it's not. I don't know what
the Delta Swamp.
Okay, sure, we'll go with that. Yeah. But it takes you
to a bayou. That's in the south, brother.
It takes you through a lot of environments, so it switches it up really well for that. You do tend to fight the same 4 or 5 sprites over and over, so that kind of sucks.
I like when you had to fight the guy. There's a guy that comes out, or there's multiple guys that are like in full scuba gear.
Yes.
Can you imagine how to fight a sucker? Listen, we've got to kill Bayou Billy. Let's sneak up in the underwater, and then we'll start wailing on with our flippers and our snorkel. Can you imagine trying to breathe and trying to see up that mask because you're fighting a guy? Because you're not underwater.
No, you're out by this point. No, the enemies that will come out carrying rocks. That's my favorite bad guy who walks on the screen, boulder overhead, walking towards you.
They'll walk around. If they're not near you, they'll just keep holding it. It's not like the guys in Double Dragon, which they just said, screw it, you're out.
Yeah.
These guys, and they'll pick the rocks back up.
Yes, absolutely. You've got boulders, sticks. That's another classic weapon in this game.
Oh, yeah.
But you also can get in the fighting sections a gun, and the gun is brutal. And if you get shot by the gun, it's not instant death, but you're going to die. You can pick up things like bulletproof vests. The enemies can wear bulletproof vests, and somehow when you shoot them, the bulletproof vest flies off of them, and you can go pick it up. It's multi-use bulletproof vesting. The game, it's for me, it's a classic. This is because it's part of my childhood, so I have a special connection to it. But there's something we have to mention, Aaron.
Uh-huh.
Most people think, and I would agree, Adventures in Bayou Billy, too hard.
Yeah, too hard. Most people might think that. Yes.
And in fact, in the reviews that people gave back in the day in the magazines, this game reviewed incredibly poorly because it was too hard.
Yes.
But it didn't always have to be that way, Aaron. Because over in Japan, this wasn't Adventures in Bayou Billy. Yeah. This was Mad City. Because
they didn't have bayous in Japan.
That's probably true. And Mad City, unlike what most people think, like, oh, when a game comes from Japan, they have to Americanify it and make it all weak and easy.
Yeah.
No, not this time. The game started in Japan as Mad City, and it was a much easier game. How much easier? The bad guys had half the amount of health. They did half amount of damage. On the driving sections, the roads were almost double the size. Because when if you wreck at all, you get no health in the driving sections. Now, you have to maintain your fuel by picking up fuel pickups or you'll lose.
Yeah.
But if you hit anything, instant death. It's just over.
Yeah.
So, in the Japanese version, it's not like that. You have a health bar. You can hit multiple things. The road is wider, so it's less curvy. Every aspect about it was easier. And there's more changes than that. And just completely going off the tradition. Annabelle, in the Japanese version, is more clothed. She's wearing a dress instead of...
She's wearing like cutoff jeans and a tank top.
She's wearing Daisy Dukes and a
looks good.
Tank
like
top
that.
in the U.S. version.
It makes sense too because she's in the bayou. That's about all of them down there. That's the way they dress.
No, you know,
just like none of us wear shoes. It's the exact same thing.
And she's like that in all the scenes because a lot of the scenes she's being like she's got her arms tied up above her head and whatnot.
There's one now if you're watching.
So. That's a complete departure over what usually happens.
Does the Japanese bad guys, he look like the bad guy in this?
He does.
Okay, that's great. Well, see, they kept him. He's one of the better choices they made.
Also, you have actual different levels. You still have the same stages, but in the American version, like, the bayou is very wet. There's tons of places where you've got little docks.
In real life, too.
Yeah. But in the Japanese version of the game, you had very little water parts of the stages, which means way less crocodiles, which makes it easier. What else has changed?
They got gators in the bayou, not crocodiles.
Well, they're crocodiles in the game. Africa. Well, they're crocodiles in the game. I can't help that. Your vehicle in the driving sections is actually wider in the U.S. version. So not only are the roads more narrow, the vehicle is actually wider.
I think I can guess why they made this harder. I'm sure you're going to mention it.
Why would they make this harder?
Is this one of those games they made harder because of the rental market?
Yes.
That's what I figured.
Yes.
Because you could tell. And it's funny because I remember renting this. And I remember seeing you
I rented it several times.
And I remember every time I went to like Blockbuster or something, this was never rented. Because after about the first 2 months, this thing was like, there were some games that no one touched, and this was one of them. They were like, we're not getting burned again on Bayou Billy.
Now, one other thing that is different between the Japanese version and the American version is, in the Japanese version, it has multiple endings. The American version has a couple endings, but the Japanese goes all out. For example, you can do training in this game, which... You either do a fighting stage, a driving stage, or a shooting stage. And if you complete those stages, you get a little bonus in game. Maybe it's more health, maybe it's more bullets, that sort of thing. If you do that and then beat the game in the Japanese version, it basically causes you a big wuss for doing that training stuff before you do it again, but don't train this time.
Jeez.
If you play it on a lower difficulty, the ending's completely different. I mean, you save the woman, but then you feel empty inside. So you don't get any of the ending. It's just like, play it on a harder difficulty level. You can also, the very end of the game, Bayou Billy and Annabelle run to each other and hug.
Yeah.
But in the Japanese version, you can actually avoid the hug. You can, like, run away from her. And if you do it for long enough, she gets depressed and she's like, oh, I guess you just don't want to be with me anymore, and then leaves.
Why would you do that?
I don't know, man.
Why would they even put that in there?
I don't know.
This is why the birth rates are tanking in Japan, right there.
Well, it gets worse. If you...
This is real. You're not just Jacob.
No, this is all real. This is...
So it's like when you hear Eternity scene on the beach, but they just one guy just refuses to embrace. It's the Bayou version. Okay, go ahead.
Well, here's the worst one.
That's worse?
Oh, no, this one's way worse. Like a
shooter?
Well, the other ending is if you run up and you hug each other and you press, it's up and a button, up and select on your controller. The scene plays out the exact same, but it changes the words. And let me read to you what happens. Just to set up the scene a little bit, this is just a box with Bayou Billy on one side and Annabelle on the other side, and they're talking.
All right.
And she says, thanks, Billy. Are you all right, Annabelle? That's Bob's response. I don't know what's going to happen to me, but I feel relieved now. You can always count on me. Now, how about a kiss? This is Bayou Billy.
Yeah.
No way. Not here. Look, there's people watching. And Bayou Billy's response, nah, it'll be fine. Just a quickie. Come on.
Yeah.
Bayou Billy's response, Annabelle's response, just behave. Even if you save my life, you better stop. And then Billy kisses her anyway.
Yes. Listen, if you go through all this that Billy went through and you get there and the chick won't kiss you, listen, I don't know. What's wrong with her? Man.
So
what is happening?
Yeah.
Put that in the game.
I don't know, man. Outside of all those aspects,
that is the goofiest crap I ever heard right there.
And there are more differences, but we need to move on. So,
jeez.
This, when this released, as I mentioned, it reviewed horribly.
Sure.
It was very popular among players, but it reviewed horribly because it was so hard. And they dumped a ton of money into this game because they did tons of advertisements for it. Now, of course, they pulled it. Oh, and I shouldn't admit, I got on such a bit of a tangent here. This was released in 1988 in Japan and 89 in America.
Yeah.
And 91 for the PAL region.
You know, I can't believe how much extra work they put in to screw with the American version. Because, I mean, that's a lot of making graphical changes, doing so. That's a lot of work to put in.
It is. You know? It is. I also think it's odd. Released in Japan 88 and 91 in the PAL. It took three years.
Now, which version did the PAL people get?
I am not 100% sure, but I would assume the North American release.
Do people in Europe know what a Bayou is?
Well, I mean,
I don't think they do.
But they do. I'm sure they have.
You barely similar, know.
I'm sure they have similar land structures over there. So, what did this mean for the Adventures of Bayou Billy? Well, not good. I think they expected this to do a lot more. I think that's why they set up the comic release and had him on the cartoon show. And that stuff. And it unfortunately did not pan out well for them. Since then, this is kind of a cult classic, sort of like your Ninja Gaiden or your Castlevania's types. People come back and play this for its difficulty rather than avoid it because of the difficulty. However, I want to know your opinion on the game, Aaron. What did you think of The Adventures of Bayou Billy?
I'm going to give you a full review of all the aspects of Bayou Billy that I played.
Okay.
So, I went
out. Did you get off the menu?
I went out to Bayou, and then a guy came at me. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I punched him, and I kicked him, and I punched him some more, and I kicked him some more. And as I was punching and kicking the very first guy, I remembered, oh, yes. Oh, yes, it's Bayou Billy, where everything is impossible. And then two guys came out, and I knew I was screwed. But I kept going. Because here's the funny thing. When when you first announced this, I remember this had light gun elements.
Yes.
And I was like, in fact, I even told you, like, oh, yeah. Remember when mm-hmm. you mentioned, I was like, oh, okay, yeah, yeah. And I was like, I'm going to get my NES out, and I've got a light gun. I'm going to get it, plug it to my TV. You know, and then, but I was like, I'm going to give this a whirl. And the second I tried, I was like, I'm not doing any of that. I'm not getting to the parts where you can use the light gun. And I had no cheats. So
oh, there
all,
are no
it
cheats.
It was all me. Yeah. And when it's all me, and I'm screwed. Your guy has not enough fighting moves. You know, the other guys are way tougher. And you think to yourself, oh, look, they've dropped that stick. Never been so happy to pick up a stick. The stick doesn't help. You can pound
the stick help,
pound them with the stick. It's like a pool cue or something. And then they just, eventually, they're going to hit you, and you're going to drop the stick, and they're going to beat you with that stick. You're better off just throwing the stick off the screen. The alligators that come up, they're way tougher than the dudes.
Oh, yeah.
And they hide in the water, and they go like, boom, yeah. Bite, bite, bite. They try to bite you.
That's a two-frame, like, animation.
They scream bite, as I recall. This also talks. She didn't mention that.
Yeah, renters of Bayou Billy.
You know, you're right. I remember when you rented this, I thought to myself, this here could have been an interesting game, but they ruined it. Ruined it. You know, you fight the same guys over and over, and the walk around and beat stuff up levels are, I kind of like what they do with the backgrounds. They do look like the Bayou.
Yeah, yeah. The graphics on this are incredible.
If you ever go to, like, the Bayou, it's like a big swamp with, like, and tons of trees and vines and stuff, and the water ranges from, like, sort of deep to, like, you wade around in it deep, you know? So this is, they got that part right, and the little docks, and you walk into the water. It's just the gameplay is too, it's this right here is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. And when I talked to Boat, because Boat was all over this to review it, and I said Boat, because Boat had mentioned something about it. I was like, well, I'm glad it wasn't just me. And Boat told me about the Japanese version.
Mm-hmm.
Which
it's very
it's
famous.
Leagues and leagues and leagues and leagues better than this.
Well, it's easier. I mean,
it's normal. This is not normal.
You're right. I'm not the main.
I guess my conclusion on this is, they blew it. This is a very Amiga-like learning curve.
Did you get off the first stage?
One time. I got off of it one time. And let me tell you something. I had time to kill this week because I blew through my game. I'm like, okay, we're going to... I knew what your game was going to be after the first go, and I tried. And I always wanted to like this game. And I remember even when I saw it for rent, I thought to myself, you know, this game was a really good game. But it's not a good game. That's why no one rented it. It's too freaking hard. And they let those elements of stupidity because of the rental market, where they're all worried that no one would rent their game over and over.
It happened.
They got what they wanted. No one rented this game. A huge, huge screw-up.
Well, the idea was they didn't want someone to rent the game and beat it. They wanted them to rent
mission accomplished.
And then go buy it.
No one beat this game on their first rental. I can tell you that right now.
I'll have to say, I was able to get to the driving stages, and much like in my youth, the driving stages continuously kicked my butt.
Well, those they're also dumb.
They're incredibly hard. I'm trying to remember how I never beat this as a kid.
And that's saying something for you. You beat almost everything.
I beat almost everything I rented, but I never beat this as a kid. I'm trying to think if I made it past the second driving stage as a kid, and I cannot remember. I know the streets of Louisiana are familiar to me.
Yeah.
And I know that's the next stage after the driving stuff, but I can't remember if I ever actually got to them.
I will say the scenes where you're perpetually attacked in the streets in New Orleans there, those are very realistic. That's exactly the way it is when you get down there.
Give me a break.
The difference is these guys aren't holding cups.
On the old eBay,
yeah.
How much do you think this goes for? Let's say...
This has got to be a pretty common cartridge. Well, I mean, it's got to be pretty common.
Let's say loose cart. What are you going to pay for a loose cart?
Oh, $46.
No, $5.
Really? Okay.
You can get box, instructions, game, and all the inserts for under $50. So
I'm not surprised because I know they made a ton of these, and it wasn't popular here. It was not popular. In fact, I don't know anyone that was like, Bayou Billy, that's great. It was, in fact, it was reviled, frankly.
Oh, no, I don't agree with that.
Reviled.
What do we get on the Discord for Old Bayou Billy?
We actually got a review of this from our own John Bodekar-Schaller, who's as you know, an NES aficionado in his own mind, at least. He writes, there's a running meme in the retro community that the NES ports of Famicom games were dumbed down for the NES audience. This comes from the fact that the Japanese version of Super Mario Bros. 2 was more difficult than the version of Super Mario 2 that was shipped to the West.
That's true.
But in reality, more NES games were made more difficult than their Famicom equivalents than the other way around. There is no answer to why this was, but some people think it was because of the rental market. There, bam. Japan didn't want to make games that you could rent for the weekend and beat, giving you no reason to purchase the game for the long-term play. Bayou Billy is a retitled and slightly altered version of the Famicom game Mad City. The character sprites, including the main character, are mostly identical, as are the stages.
They're close.
What is different is the fun beat-em-up from the Famicom becomes an irritating slog on the NES because of the outrageous strength of the enemies you fight. You plug away at the most generic of bad guys endlessly. In the Zapper stages, you start with less ammo than in Mad City. In driving stages, the road is narrower. For years, I tried to give Bayou Billy a chance. It should have been a slam dunk. But now that I've discovered Mad City, I've actually been able to enjoy the experience. Bayou Billy, 3 out of 10. Mad City, 7 out of 10.
There you go.
It's a shame. This right here, if you look at the NES library, this is one of the all-time hugest, like, swing and a miss. Because they had something, and they dropped the ball.
They pushed the heck out of it.
The good thing is you can play Mad City. And it's a much more forgiving experience. I also tried it, and I would give it a much higher score than I would give Bayou Billy.
Aaron, what would you bring to the table on such a fun topic?
Well, we're gonna say bye bye to Bayou Billy.
We are.
Now listen, disclaimer time. So I was like, I'm gonna try to think outside the box. In fact, I had a couple of suggestions given to me.
Sure.
And there were good suggestions. Pac-Man was like, you should try that Yeti Mountain game. You know, the new one out for the C64. And I'd heard the guys on Pixel Gaiden try it recently. I was like, oh, you know, I want to try something a little wackier than something brand new again. Well, that was dumb. I should have just listened to Pac-Billy again. So I looked around. I thought, well, I want to try something. So to find this game, I just started typing stuff into a search engine that were just two genres. I would put like driving schmuck. I would put like, you can see where this is going. I would type in driving beat 'em up. I would type in, and so eventually I typed in shooter fighting game. And what came spit out of this thing was the game I picked this week. The full title of this is Uchu no Kishu Tekkamon Blade, but we're just going to call it Tekkamon Blade from here on out. I'm not going to go through that every time. Released on July 30th, 1993. This is a Super Famicom game, the brand.
Yep.
Published by Beck Co., developed by AI Co., a lot of Co.'s in there. And this is a game based on an anime. Now, listen. You know, I love to go in and give you a long descriptor on the product that the game's based on.
I know you do love doing
We're
that.
We're not doing that this week.
All right.
I tried to look up, to try to figure out what Tekkamon Blade, the history of the anime, and it was the most convoluted, confusing thing. I just looked at it. I mean, pages and pages of stuff that happened. I was just baffled. And I will say the baffling nature of the anime flows freely into the game, which we'll get into here. I do want to give the credit to people that deserve some credit, and I'm going to butcher some names here. The executive producer of Tekkamon Blade was Haruyuki Hayashi. Now, get this. He was executive producer on this game. The CPC a trend here. Amongst the other games he did were a Gundam game, Dragon Ball game, and Ultraman game. So this guy they were working their way through properties on the Super Famicom, and this was the guy that got to do it. The game starts out with a lot of reading.
No, it doesn't. It starts out with a lot of skipping.
Yeah, well, yeah, I mean, yeah. So I don't fully understand the plot of the game, so I'm going to try to summarize it as best I can.
All right.
You play a guy named, well, he's actually named Technoman, but he's also got several other names in the game, okay?
All right.
And he has got to go out and defeat some guys for some reason, and some of which are related to him, okay? I'm not going to go, it's, the walls of text came forward. And they were unavoidable. I just had to stare at them. After about the third wall, I was just like, I don't know what I'm looking at here. But when you boil the game down, and this is why I picked it for this. This game is a combination shooter-ish and fighting game-ish. Okay?
That's a true statement.
That's a true statement. So you play a guy in power armor.
Yep.
Okay? His power armor gives him certain advantages, as you can imagine. He can fly through space, for example. He's got a space bow staff or baton, or I don't know what you would call this thing.
Stick.
It's a stick, but it's a metal stick. And you can, and when you're in the shooting stages, you actually get you actually have two different opportunities to use it. You can throw it.
Yeah,
and you can just swing it and like wail
half
sucker.
Swing,
right?
Because he never actually extends the stick. Well, you know, he's like,
But he swings it a little like flash, the little you know, like a he whacks a sucker,
right? But don't think like Hope, like extend a bow staff type thing. Yeah,
no, he doesn't.
It's real tight.
And one thing you'll notice that when he throws it, like it's gone for a while, and it will get back to you.
Yeah, it boomerangs.
It boomerangs, but it's not like. It's not like, say, you're playing like Raiden or something where you just shoot. It doesn't, it's not the equivalent of shooting.
Oh, no, there's no rapid fire.
No, it's, in fact, what's the opposite of rapid fire? Throwing a stick in space? That's what it is.
You can have one stick on screen at a time.
Yeah, exactly. So the shooting stages are, they're different in the fact that you have, they're not just, you're not just out in space, you're moving to the side. And so it's sort of like a side-scrolling shooter.
It's exactly like a right? side-scroller.
But except some of it, well, not exactly, because some of it is just like you're in the vacuum of space. Then sometimes there's stuff.
Yeah, but you're only scrolling sideways.
Right, but I'm saying sometimes the screen's empty except for bad guys. Then sometimes the screen's bad guys and other things, obstacles.
Okay.
Sometimes space has a ceiling and a floor.
You know, of rock.
In certain areas. So if you're like inside of a planet or something. So this game reminds me a lot of of something like you'd play on the Amiga, where you just like took some random like insect like stuff and said, "Here you go, fight this." So you fight these weird looking like, and I don't know if this stuff's from the anime. I mean, I don't know, but you fight like tadpole creatures and weird like blowfish and like other assorted like metal things will show up, and sometimes these things explode into bullets. Sometimes they shoot bullets, sometimes they just run into you, right? As you go through the game, you also pick up a couple types of power-ups. And don't get excited.
No.
The power-ups are limited to, so you can get like a green one gives you extra health.
Yep.
And the blue one gives you the ability to like be indestructible for a slight amount of time.
Yep.
You can just like ramrod stuff. There's also a red one. I'm trying to think what the red one even does. I don't know if it does more. It does something, but I don't remember what it is.
I don't know if I ever saw the red one.
That's the thing. Oh, I think red one gives you the extra screen explosion.
No, that's yellow.
Okay. I don't remember. Maybe the red one gives you more damage. The reason we don't know is because they don't show up all the time.
And you have to kill enemies to get a wave of enemies
Well,
to
I mean,
get
they, that's not right. These power-ups show. No, what you said is fine.
Okay.
What I said was not right. I didn't want to give you the business. These power-ups show up every time in the exact same space.
Yes.
So, but if you don't kill the guy that was in the spot that they're at, you don't get them.
Yeah.
That's if you memorize the levels, you can sort of, I mean, again, these power-ups are practically nothing. The health one's important.
Yes.
Because you need health, but that's it. And then you also have a case if you've picked up the yellow one, you can make the screen explode, kill everything.
Yes.
But again, these things rarely come out. So, that's the first part of the game. Now, every round is exactly the same way, pretty much. You have a conversation, you go into space, you fight, you go down the line and have a space battle, you know, in space. And then eventually you'll come across another guy. And he'll be floating there. He's like, "Hey, you, You know,
get into my car.
I'm going to get you. You're bad. And your guy gives them the business. They cut promos on each other while they're floating. And what I like about this is they're like, oh, yeah, let's settle this down there. And then they both willingly fly to the battle area. And this is where you go into your fighting game. Now, Brent, as you know, I consider myself something of a fighting game aficionado. I'm not saying I'm the best at fighting games, but I've played a lot of them. And we have with various degrees of success.
Sure, sure.
This is a fighting portion of this game that screen zooms in. So now you're a full-sized fighting guy. Okay, you're the robot.
Yeah, your sprite's definitely bigger.
Normally you're fighting other robots, you know, but not always. Every once in a while. It's just like a traditional fighting game. There's a health bar at the top. And rounds.
And a timer for some reason.
And the timer hates you. Let's get that out of the way. And you've got your sword, and whoever you're fighting has whatever weapon they've got. Usually they've got a sword, but sometimes they've got, like this guy.
An axe.
So then you have the fighting game. Now, the fighting game, for whatever reason, only has a couple buttons. Like, they decided not to use correct me if I'm wrong, but the Super Famicom had a glorious amount of buttons.
Six buttons.
Right.
Four on the face, two shoulders.
But this game, four went the other buttons for two buttons. This is traditional fighting game. You can block, and you can kick, and you can sword. And then presumably, there are maneuvers you can do to do special things.
I looked. I couldn't get any to work.
I could get zero special effects off. Now, you think to yourself, well, it's a fighting game. You don't have any special moves. How's that going to go? Well, I'll tell you how it goes. It's slow. Real slow. And the timer, like, you can be... Here's something about the game I find interesting. If the timer runs out, no matter how much energy you've got versus your opponent, you lose. So you could have been wailing this guy. He's done like one sliver. You still lose. And then he gets up and goes like, ha ha. And you're a geek.
I got you. It's like, no, you didn't.
Now, I developed a cunning, effective fighting system here.
I'm going to guess it's just similar to mine.
And here was what it was. Put the guy in the corner and just wail on him till he dies. That's what I did.
Mine was very similar. Put him in the corner and then poke him at range continuously.
Well, my thing was kicking leg, poking chest. But usually I was just hitting both buttons as fast as I could. And I went through, I don't know how far you went into this game.
I think I went to the three or so.
The first five levels.
Oh, I don't know
you
if
can
I can
continue.
Stomach it.
You can continue.
No, you're right.
And I got pretty far without even having to continue.
Yeah.
But the fighting, the shooting parts get kind of tough. That's where I have trouble. But the fighting thing, they talk about you smack, and you go in there and light them up. And sometimes they'd be, and this is where more dialogue occurred after the fight was over.
Yeah.
You know, and like I said, I hate to shortchange this game on its plot. But I'm not going there, man. And the thing is, I found an English translation, which is floating around out there. Yeah. Someone translated all this.
I did not get to play this in English.
War and Peace.
Yeah.
The amount of dialogue you'd have to know. So, but I did play through five levels. I will say there are five different guys you could fight. And I have read that if you beat this at certain levels, you can actually get to play these guys. But that's pretty much the way it goes. So let's get this straight. You've got the shoot up level, then you fight the boss, the end boss, then the guy shows up. I didn't talk about the end boss.
Well, don't worry, I'll get into that.
Yeah, there's end bosses too. And then after the end boss, the guy shows up, then you fight the guy, and then you start the next chapter with a big wall of text. This is how it goes. Now, let's get down to the nitty gritty. I thought the game looked pretty good. It was okay. It wasn't anything spectacular, but it looked okay. I thought the control, I mean, he moved when you want him to. He shot when you want him to. I thought some of the space stuff was interesting, and there's not a lot of space games, like a lot of hand-to-hand combat like that. Kind of neat. The problem is whenever you stop to do that, you take damage. You know, you've got a life bar. Oh, I should mention that when you're in space, whatever life you've got left with, that's what you start with in the fight. That's something else I found was unusual. You know, but once you continue, it doesn't matter. And overall, I thought the fighting part of this was, remember that FMW fighting game we played with the wrestlers? This was sort of similar to that, except that had wackier backgrounds and crazier wrestlers. This just had two weird mechs wailing each other, looking like geeks. Even though it gave you the ability to disarm your opponent and you could be disarmed, that really didn't add much to the proceedings. And occasionally your weapon just whips back in and you have it again. You can get its armor real quick, too. Very strange. So I guess what I'm saying is, what happens if you take a lackluster, no-frills shooter, and then you staple a low-end, no-frills fighting gear to it? Then you've got Uchi no Kishi Tekkamon Blade. Just to put this to bed, I did look at some reviews on this, and there were only a couple, and they weren't real kind to this game. This game has 7 stages in total. Then you're done. You can continue through all the way through it. I give you Tekkamon Blade. Brent, what was your thoughts on the old Blade?
This is one of the worst games you've ever made me play.
No, that's not true.
No, it is, because you're right. The controls are fine.
Yeah.
Right? The graphics, although underwhelming for Super Nintendo, are fine.
Yeah.
Everything's well-defined. This game is so boring.
It is, yeah.
Oh, it man. Is so boring. It is so formulaic. You go through your shooter section, right? You never get powered up. I mean, yeah, you can pick up the little extra gems, but they're one-time use. And you throw in your stupid little staff. You throw in your stupid, and that's all you're doing.
It's pointy.
And then you,
it's not really a staff.
And then you
it's
get to the stick. To the boss yeah. of the shooting section, and there it's 2 enemies that follow the same patterns over and over.
They do vary these.
Over and over. And then you beat that stage. Oh, I'm sorry. Then you go to the fighting section.
Yeah.
Where, yeah, you can disarm your opponent, and your opponent can disarm you. It doesn't matter. You're just going to back him into a corner, and you're going to poke him with your stick.
Unless you don't have it.
If you don't have your stick, just wait for a few seconds, and your stick will magically reappear.
Well, you could beat him without the stick.
But it's not like you go and pick your stick back up. It just magically appears in your hand for some reason.
Yeah.
And then you go on to the next stage, where you go through this, you're throwing your stick, you're trying to find something to make the game enjoyable, and then you get to the bosses, and it is a new graphic, but it's the exact same pattern again. Maybe this time the boss also shoots behind him. And on the third stage, the boss shoots up. It is so formulaic. I have no attachment to the anime. I did not have a translated version. My was in Japanese, so I had no plot.
You're actually lucky.
That
you should have read the plot.
No, I was so bored. I kept thinking that I didn't have all the buttons, like for the shooter and the fighting section. I was like, man, how do I pull out the gun? Right. So I went and I started looking.
Yeah.
I pulled up the manual, 2 buttons.
Yeah.
I went on went on YouTube. I was like, okay, man, can I at least do something in the fighting game? No. I was looking for Street Fighter moves, looking for charge moves, looking for buttonhole moves. Nothing. It is just flat boring. And that is the biggest sin. You can be a bad game and still be a fun game. But when you're a bad game, this game wasn't a bad game. It's not a bad game. It's a boring game.
It's by the numbers.
Oh, yeah, my gosh.
I'm not going to dispute you. I will say, the bosses don't always... I mean, I don't know how far you got in, but as you get further...
I was like
bosses
4.
Bosses get slightly clever. Let me ask you, since you didn't have the Japanese or the American or English translation, do you remember the part where the 2 guys would have the dialogue and then it would show a close-up of your guy and he'd be like, power up! You had no idea what was going on there.
Skip. That's what that was.
Well, see, because I thought what would be cool is if you go through like a Mega Man.
You pick up their weapon.
Like, that would be cool. Or like maybe you could slap some of their armor. Like, we're rewriting the anime. It's better.
Yeah.
It's a better version.
If you were to pick up the other guy's weapon, then could hit select maybe and go through, choose which weapon you had out. And you could throw one, hit select, and then throw the other one.
Yeah.
Do something like that. Anything would have made this better.
Yeah.
And your stick blocks shots.
Yeah.
So even the shooting sections where you're supposed to be dodging bullets and you're intense, you just throw the stick and all the bullets disappear.
Well, I learned late. I mean, the problem is the stick, when you throw the stick, you've got no stick. So, like, if there's other crap going on,
move to the middle of the screen.
Right. But I'm just saying. I eventually learned you always throw the stick.
Yes.
Because at first I was like, I'm just going to whack this stuff.
No.
Whacking it doesn't work. But I mean, honestly, and the thing is, it let me continue. I put it on like the easiest level of difficulty, but it let me have continues throughout the whole game.
Oh, no, so, yeah. I didn't quit because I lost. I quit because I almost fell asleep.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I mean, it's not that good. I admit that. I thought it'd be kind of fun to try something on the Super Famicom. Come on, you love the Super Famicom.
I love the Super NES, but this was its best show.
This reminds me of something if I was like digging through the MSX2 library.
Yes.
And I came across this, like, you know, you came across these generic games. That's what this reminds me of. Just yes. Like this generic, or like the 68,000, like, hey, here's some generic game with like mechs or robots or whatever. It was a letdown. Just a closed shop on this.
You got a Discord as well.
I know. I found three reviews. The Computer Plus VO Gyochi gave it a 90%. Console Mania gave it a 78%. And Abandoned Times Magazine, which is a local joint, gave it a 35%. Go with the 35. Really, I mean, 35 is low. I would say this is more like 65. I'd say it's like a good D+ game, in my opinion. It's low praise. There's no doubt about that. We did get a review from the boat once again. He said, well, you've got a pretty generic Gundam shooter and a pretty generic Gundam fighting game in the same game. The shooter features a unique boomerang maneuver you can pull off with your Staff of Doom, but that's about it. The fighting game reminds me of TMNT Tournament Fighters, yes, for the NES. Both modes seem to only use two of the four Super Famicom face buttons. This one is highly forgettable. He's right. You know, remember in the Double Dragons, they tried to strap a fighting game, and they didn't do anything to the game. It's like, look, you could fight these guys, and it stuck. That is exactly what this reminded me of. It's not a good thing, Britt. It's a bad thing. I took a chance. I took a chance. What are you going to do? You can't win them all. Oh, I did look this up on eBay with no success. So there you go.
I'm sure it goes for $1 billion because it's that short anime.
No. Nobody
and
wants it.
You know what is always a success?
My game picks, except for this week.
A really loud Wheel theme song. Oh, no. Let's go to it, Aaron.
Don't turn up too loud. They got to hear my beautiful tones. Britt, this week we swapped out last week's game for a new game.
That's normally how it works, yeah, Aaron. And thanks for describing.
And the new game we picked, the new thing we picked up is the Spectra Video SV318, suggested by Buck Owens. And our Retro Rewind piece this week, everyone's favorite, it's Mattel's Intellivision. Brand.
Yes.
We love the Intellivision.
Aaron, we're going to give this thing a monster spin.
Give it a monster spin, man. Go for it.
I'm going to release my stick-throwing ambitions onto this wheel.
Yeah, because this is a frustrating week. I will say my game was a lot more playable than yours. I got to play a lot longer. And the winner is... Oh, man. Is that what I think it says? Who suggested that? It's Serial Link Games. This one was perpetrated by Rob Flack O'Hara. Serial Link Games means that we've got to come up with a way to play these games on the Serial Link. This is actually quite timely because I've been working on something for Boat Fest, so maybe we can use it for the show.
Well, I think it's just games that feature the Serial Link technology.
We've got to play the game to, don't you think we should try playing the game against each other with the Serial Link?
Hook that up and I'll be right over.
All right. We'll do it. So that'll be in 2 weeks, the brand. Next week, we're back. Back in the New York group.
That's normally how it works. This is a weekly show.
With R. Sinclair. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the week that we're going to make a jump to the left. And then a step to the right. Yes, it's a Rocky Horror Picture Show game for the ZX. We actually gave this a spin on the Apple, I believe, a long time ago. So we'll see if they improved or unimproved the game that we played on the Apple. And they can unimprove it. You never know. That should be a lot of fun because we're both huge Rocky Horror fans.
Yes.
It's funny because it's not that funny. This week in West Virginia, they tore down the theater, or they closed the theater where I saw almost every Rocky Horror Picture I ever went to.
They close Keith Hobby?
No, that's not where I saw. Most of the time I saw it was in Charleston at the Park Place
Cinema. Oh, yeah.
And after a 43-year run, as with most of the things in our downtown of our capital city, it's been closed down from lack of use. So a hearty see you later for the Park Place. I had a lot of fun and matured quite a bit during my time of going to Rocky Horror. That place was off the chart. There was some crazy crap that went on in that theater. So it should be a lot of fun. That's going to be next week, the Brent. In 2 weeks, we'll be back with Serial Link Games. Thanks to Rob Flacco here. Just a little quick shout out. I want to thank everybody who joined myself in Discord for 4 hours of the Eurovision Song Contest. A big congratulations to Switzerland, who took home the big prize with a glorious song, the dude in the dress, and he's balancing on a circle. It was good. It was wacky. It was good. I liked it. We had a lot of fun. Brent, do we have anything coming up that you want to talk about before we call it a day?
Nope.
Bam. We're out the door. We'll see you next week for Rocky Horror, buddy. And until then, bam, say it. Bye.